Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for another wonderful evening. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We thank you for your presence in us. We thank you for how you have been, how far you have brought us, and we thank you for where you have brought us from and all that you've been doing in our lives. Father, we thank you that you have made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter. For the letter kills, but of the Spirit, for the Spirit gives life. Father, speak through us, open our ears, open our understanding. Help us to pull down every stronghold that stops us from receiving your word. And help us, O Lord, to act on your word when we receive it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're looking at 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me see now. I'm supposed to get it right. 2 Corinthians 11:3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Corinthians 11:3. It's a very short. From the, yes, a bit, but it all works together for good. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Okay, thank you. It says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." Some of the commentaries refer to that simplicity as simple devotion to Jesus Christ. Simple devotion to Jesus Christ. And one now wonders that why is the enemy so intent on corrupting our minds? And note where it corrupts. He corrupts the mind. That's where he corrupts. And that is telling you that the mind is a very important area. But before we go on, let us look at Eve. Because he says he corrupted the... Lest he corrupts us. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve," yes. He beguiled Eve, yes. So let's look at what the serpent did to Eve. In the book of the beginnings, that's Genesis, we have key issues. Man was created by God. And man was created in God's image, and after God's likeness. That is very, very important. The Almighty God created man in his own image and after his own likeness. Then he had created the heavens, the earth, and then he gave man dominion over the earth, all the earth. Now, man was created from the dust of the ground. And then he received God's own breath, the very breath of the eternal God, the Almighty God, was put into man's nostrils. Man became a living soul. And this breath was known as the breath of life. So it's very important that we realize that what brought man to life, made man a living soul, was God's own very breath. And that breath was inside man. And this man, created from the dust of the earth, was made in the image and likeness of God and granted dominion over all the earth. Creeping things, cattle, fowl of the air, fish of the sea, everything. God then went further, found that the man was alone, made a woman from the man's ribs, and then brought the woman to the man. The man and the woman, they lived in harmony and with God, enjoyed all creation. Everything was under the dominion of man. Now, if we can stretch our imagination and think of how was this place, this Garden of Eden where man was? Was it a jungle like Africa? Was it a botanical garden? It's very difficult for us to conceive how it was, but we know it was very beautiful. We know God came down in the cool of the evening to enjoy man's company. And it's so easy for us to look at it from our own perspective of what we see around us today and think that it must have been a primitive setting. There would have been no skyscrapers, there would have been no cars. But that was God's wonderful creation at its best. There was no death, there was no sin, there was no sickness. But Satan was present. The serpent was there. And the Bible tells us that he was the most subtle of all God's creation. Now, here was the man and the woman in total peace, joy, fellowship with God, made like God, in God's own image, enjoying. And then this creature had no power over them. But a tool was his subtlety, deception. And he came to the woman, "Now, has God said?" And the woman knew God had said, but long and short, he deceived the woman. And the woman also got the man involved. And they lost everything. But then we see that God restored man. In deceiving the woman, he brought out from this being that God had made. Because the basic thing God did for this being was to give choice, the ability to make a decision, to remain loyal or disloyal. And till date, every man has that. So what he did was to bring out in this woman the lust of the eyes. This fruit looks good. Then the lust of the flesh, it seems it will taste nice. Then pride. God has said this, but I too want to be like God. I don't want to be under him anymore. I will rebel. And when I rebel, I will now be equal to God. I might not overcome him, but he's in his own. I'm on my own. I'm controlling my own area. And you see, that desire was not well thought out, because the first thing Adam saw was man, God. And his life was sustained by that breath of God in him. And everything he enjoyed was made by God. His authority was given by God. So it was a great rebellion. But then he did it. And here we see God's goodness, his mercy, his nature, almighty creator, moon, sun, stars. Yet, compassion, forgiveness. And for man to be in God's likeness, that means this nature too must have been in man. But the minute man fell, he lost that nature. He became a perversion of the original. And all these good attributes, love, mercy, joy, peace, that were in the image and likeness of God, was lost. So we now come to the same issue again. The serpent has succeeded, and now we're being told that just as he succeeded here, a man who is so powerful, it's so easy for us, I want to emphasize that again, to forget what kind of man this man was. Angels had to be put at the gate to stop him coming back with swords. So for you to imagine that, God had to put angels to stop him after driving him out of the garden. So that gives you a concept. This was a man in the image likeness of God who fellowshipped with God. I'm emphasizing this so that we know that fallen man in his original state was a wonderful creation, great, powerful being. So now we're being told we should not allow that same serpent, just as he beguiled Eve, to do the same to us. So in dealing with this, I will start with, who is Jesus Christ? Because Paul here is talking about the simplicity in Jesus Christ. So we look at John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. All things, anything we see. In him was the life. And that life was the light of men. Anytime you take a photograph with a camera, you look into the eyes, you'll see a red light from the eyes. That's the light in man's life. And once that light goes and the person is dead, there's no light anymore. Now, you find that the first man, God put his breath, and that breath brought life. Now, this is Jesus Christ. In him was the life. Now, by him were all things created. So, at that beginning, we can safely say, through him, God created everything, including man that was made. So that's one definition of who Jesus Christ is. We go to a second one, Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we see now that Jesus Christ is referred to as his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds. So this further tells us that the world, everything was made by him, and he's the heir of everything. And in verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory, he's the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty. So we see that this Jesus Christ purged our sins. And that's why Paul is warning us. We mustn't let him deceive us like he stole everything from Adam and Eve. We mustn't allow it this time. Now look at it. God made man in his own likeness and in his own image. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have what? Passed away. But look at it. In Jesus Christ is that same life that the first man had. In Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. I want us to look at that word image. God made man in his own image and likeness. Jesus Christ in this time now is the image, express image of God. So, at this point, we will move to the next step. Christ died on the cross for us, and he said, it is finished. What did God do? Let's hear from Jesus Christ himself. So that this is actually where we're going. And this is what we have to hold on to prevent us from being deceived. And this part of the Bible, it comes under false doctrine. Prevention of false doctrine. That's Second Corinthians 11:3. Christ, Jesus is speaking here in chapter 15 of John. I'll just quickly read till verse 12, 11 or 12, yeah. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye are clean. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Again, the purpose, fullness of joy. But now, I want us to imagine a vine and branches. A vine and branches. When we see a vine and we see the branches, do we see them as separate and distinct? Or do we see them as one? So here is Jesus Christ himself telling us that God has made us one with him. The old man, Adam, was created, but this new man is now being created as one with Jesus Christ. And this is very important for every believer. It's so easy to overlook. We are the workmanship of God, created in Jesus Christ. This is what God has done. We are not separate from Jesus Christ anymore. And you will remember that the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, we must use them to pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Peter said he has given to us all that pertains to life and godliness through a knowledge of him. And that's why the mind is so important. And if it is corrupted, your knowledge is messed up, if I may use that word. And the Almighty God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge, in Hosea 4:6. And he also said, I have rejected you from being a priest to me because you have rejected knowledge. He said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So knowledge is so important. And this knowledge must not be taken away from us that Jesus and us have been made one. He's the vine and we are the branches. In verse 14, this is when Jesus starts to tell us about this. And he's telling his disciples here. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, verse 11 of the same John. Believe me that I'm in the Father, or the Father in me, or else believe in the very work, for the very work's sake. Then in verse 19 it says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, you shall live also. The vine is the life of the branch. Without the vine, the branch is dead. And in him was the life. That life was the light of men. God put his breath in man, life came, the breath of life. Man is created in Jesus, and now the life-giving spirit, Jesus, gives man life. Today, all of us who are believers are living by Jesus. Now, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Then in verse 28, he said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Then he says in verse 29, and now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe me. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Note that the prince of this world comes and has nothing in Jesus Christ. Just like the song we sang, Jesus has won the victory. The first man, Eve, was seduced based on three things: pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And in John, it says, this is what is in the world. Love not the world. All that is in the world is this: pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. But in Matthew chapter 4, we see the victory of Jesus over all this. Jesus got that victory for you and I. In Romans, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, you have been grafted from the, he's complaining bitterly. Yes. Romans 11, yes. He says, you've been grafted from the wicked tree, cut off from that, and grafted onto the olive tree that is fat and flourishing. You see, he's using the same terminology our Lord Jesus Christ used. I think I should just quickly read that for emphasis sake. Romans 11, yes. Yes, Romans 11, 16. It says, for if the first fruit be holy, and the lump is also holy, and if the roots be holy, so are the branches. Note that, please. If the roots be holy, so are the branches. Many a times we think we're not holy. But it's telling you that if the roots be holy, so are the branches. So we can confidently say, I am holy. Then it says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the roots and fatness of the olive tree. So you see that we who were Gentiles have been grafted in. So again, Jesus is divine. We are the branches. There's a union. And this is what the enemy is trying to steal from us. Because it will make our life so easy when we get this and we live by it. But the stronghold of what we have been taught over the years makes it very difficult for us to come to accept this truth, even when we see it clearly. So let's go again to John, our Lord Jesus Christ again speaking. And this is again very crucial. John 17, Jesus is praying to God for his disciples. He says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Jesus is saying, I came out of God. He says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. He didn't say for the earth, so he said the world. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. And we belong to Jesus. So we belong to God. Then it says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep true thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So here he's saying that the believers should be one as Jesus and God are one. And this is something that Brother Ernie dealt with in his last message, or the message before last. It says, sanctify them through thy truth, in verse 13, thy word is truth. Then in verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. As if our Lord Jesus Christ knew that in the later days, there will be a lot of arguments and hair splitting. So he's now not limited to the disciples only. He says, those who will believe through their word. Now, he says that they all may be one. All believers are one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. One in us. Brothers and sisters, this is the key point. At the altar there is 2 Corinthians, Colossians 2:9. In him, it pleased God that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell. Now, it's not easy for me to accept. But when I saw the scripture that Christ should dwell in my heart by faith, that the fullness of God might be expressed through me, I now started to see what God had in mind. There's another scripture that says God's plan was to bring everything together in Christ at the end of times, things in heaven and things on earth. all together in Christ in Ephesians. But let's go on. It says, I in them, Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Then in verse 23, it says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. A lot of people suffer rejection. What a comfort to know that God loves me as he loves Jesus Christ. If this can become my reality, all sadness, all despondency, all irritability will disappear from every life. That's why it says, rejoice, rejoice forevermore. But then, the fact is that we have been taught otherwise for so long, and so we refuse to come to this reality that Jesus has been made one with us, and God is in Jesus, and we are in Jesus, and by that privilege of being in Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all one. We in Jesus, all one. Praise God. Man is restored back to where he was before the fall. And if we don't see ourselves casting down every imagination in the image and likeness of God, that's how we were made. In the image and likeness. So what image do I have of myself? Do I see myself as that man from the village in Africa? Or that man? I am now a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am now the righteousness of God in Christ. But let me take it further. I discovered that nothing in any of the Gospels, in any of the epistles, had not been discussed by Jesus Christ. None. But let's take it further. Let's start with, sorry about the number of scriptures, really, but because it's something that is so important. Second Peter, he says, because I'm taking Peter for, because he's the eldest. Oh, I presume that he's the eldest. 2 Peter 1:3-4. He says, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life in Christ Jesus. Godliness in Christ Jesus. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. We're called to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world. This is God telling us that. And we are now called to be partakers of his divine nature. And he has done this for us in Christ. And I would get somewhere as we're going along. Then let's look at John. He's the one that Jesus loved. He's repeating the same thing. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. 1 John 4:17. It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because, he goes on to say, as he is, so are we in this world. Present tense, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Now, if I can take that in, it will totally transform my life. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. And the verse before that, it says, as we have known and believed the love that God had to us. It's because of the love he did that. The enemy thought he had destroyed us through the fall of man. It says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we dwell in love. God is in us, and we're in God. Then, now, that's Peter and John. Let's quickly go on. Paul. a new apostle. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. It is God who put us in Christ Jesus. And who has made Jesus Christ to be wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption unto us. Jesus has been made all these things unto us. So no believer can say, I don't have wisdom. No believer can say, I don't have righteousness, except you are no longer abiding in him. And that's why Jesus said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me. And what the enemy wants to do is to make us see ourselves as separate from Jesus. Because we're so bound by this body. And we don't want to appreciate the fact that this body is just a casing, as clearly stated in 2 Corinthians 5:1. The real man, again, Paul says, there's a spirit man and there's a physical man. He clearly explains that too. Then we go on. Galatians 3:26 and 27. It says, ye are all children of God by faith. All of us are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when the enemy sees you, he sees Christ. When God sees you, he sees Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So this, to me, is a very important and basic, because I note that Paul said, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in Christ. And before that, he said, this is the hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So, brothers and sisters, when we now think that God said, if you reject knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That relationship that God had with Adam is now restored for you and I as believers. And the beauty of it is that if we look at it carefully, Paul gave another example of a human body. First thing is that you notice that in the early church in Corinth, when they were carnal, envy, fighting, quarreling amongst each other, he was telling Timothy, he says, a servant of the Lord does not strive. Why? Because we are complete in Christ. Christ is our sufficiency. There is nothing you need. In him does everything consist. And we are in him. All things are his. And we are made joint heirs with him. But he also told us, said, if you are not faithful with the mammon, this money and things we spend here, how can anybody bless you with the true riches? You can't account for how you spend your money, how your salary came in, what you are doing with it. Then you want the true riches. So that tells us that money is not the real riches. There's the true riches which we gain in that union with Christ. But again, we mustn't forget that he told us that if we don't abide, and again, in other places, if you don't continue in this, and you see, today, a lot of believers, there's no joy. It says that your joy may be full because they don't know who they are and what God has done for them. It says he's the one who has saved you, called you with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You see, we live by grace. We receive. I was surprised when Paul said, those of us who have received grace to be obedient. I used to see Paul as, unconsciously, he worked hard to obey God. But he now said he received grace to be obedient. He says he's the one that works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. So we see that he saved us, called us with his own, with a holy calling, not according to ours. So each and every believer, just like in a vine and a tree of branches, each and every believer, there's a purpose God has attached to your life. There's a purpose God has attached to your life. And As you see on a tree, there are some branches that are as fat as this. There are some that are so thin, they look like they can be snapped off any minute. But at the end of the day, desire the sincere milk of the word that it can grow. The smallest branch will become the biggest branch over the years. And as the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the assurance we have. Now, it also relieves us of a lot of stress. The work is no longer my work. That branch is not going to make any effort to become fat, to become full of life. By my virtue of abiding, it's receiving all the nutrients from the vine. And this is where many of us fail, because we try to do it in our strengths. We try to attain their goals, their aspirations. No, there's a purpose he has called us to. We abide in him, he abides in us, and we allow that mind which was in Christ Jesus, because we're in this body. The mind is where the corruption wants to come in. Even though he was equal to God, he did not see it as something to be attained. But he was obedient even unto the death on the cross. So the key will now be, once I can set this in my mind, like Brother Mark was saying this morning, be anxious over nothing, cast all your cares. That vine is supplying everything to that branch. He's not bothered about how he gets it. Taylor Hudson, China Inland Mission. He said for many years it was fruitless, no blessings, nothing, the work wasn't going. But then he realized that he was striving too much, struggling. But then he decided to abide. And today we're talking of Taylor Hudson. And many more like that. He has called us to victory. The life of the believer should be like hot knife going through butter, because it is no longer I, it is Christ. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for what you have done for us, restoring us back to where we were, coming back into that full fellowship that our joy may be full. Father, please help us to apply this and begin to enjoy that fullness of joy, knowing that we have everything in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.